We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And drops back, throws a marching pass upfield. Reggie Town Fields gathers it in on the dead run and races all the way to score from Los Angeles. A 72-yard touchdown play.
First down inside his own five from his own end zone. Sacked and a safety on Rudolph. Aaron Donald and Clay Matthews got to him.
Inspired by the presence of Captain Jack Youngblood, playing in pain with his broken leg. A savage Ram defense.
They hand it to Steven. Great jump cut. 45.
He sees a hole, burst through it. 20.
Side steps to tackle. Runs left. 25 still on his feet. 10. 46-yard goal by number 39.
Running back, number 29, Eric Dickerson.
Johnny Hecker, a high school quarterback, is going to throw. The fake is on it. He's got a first down to Stephen Bailey.
Mike Jones made the tackle, and the Rams have won the Super Bowl.
Rams Talk Radio with Derek C. Apollo and Michael Stewart.
Well, there's no Michael Stewart here tonight, but this is Derek C. Apollo with Magic Johnny, Johnny Gomez, and eventually, whenever Steve gets done doing dishes, he'll show up as well as our round 2/3 podcast for the 2024 NFL draft underway. And Johnny, I cannot forget to say that this podcast is brought to you by Prize Picks. Guess what? It's brought to you by Prize Picks.
Well, I was just waiting for you to say it.
Yeah, I said it. There we go. How you doing?
Pretty damn good. Pretty damn good. And that's coming, and that's saying a lot considering my Lakers are about to be swept for the second straight year against the Nuggets.
They weren't swept last year. They lost last year. They were swept, were they?
They were swept by the Nuggets last year.
They lost in six. Are you sure? Or am I just...
Nope.
They were swept. This is a late night for me.
I remember the very painful memory of being swept. And now the painful memory being jogged back because it's going to happen again if they don't win tomorrow, which, let's face it, they're not winning tomorrow.
No, they're done. They haven't played really all that well since the midseason tournament, to be honest with you. But that's not why we're here. It is a late night. We're going off into tangents. So here we go. Here's where we're at right now as we're recording this. We are round 3, pick 81, which means the Rams are up in 2 picks. Seattle's picking right now, and they're bringing a bunch of people on stage. I don't know. I don't care. Because the Rams made a move in this draft. Like, they did, and I'm not sure how I feel about the actual trade, but they got themselves a player. And I mean that with a capital P. Rams traded away their second-round pick this year and next year, plus a fifth-round pick this year, to move up to pick 39 to pick Florida State defensive tackle Brandon Fisk. That's their second-round pick. Now, if that Florida State part reminds you of something, because yesterday's pick, Mr. Verse, also went where, Johnny? Where?
Went to Florida State.
Went to Florida State.
Oh, there's Steve. Steve shows up finally. We talked a little bit of trash while you were
gone. I've been in here for like a minute. I joined and you guys were crying about your dog water basketball team.
Well, how are you going to say that? The Sevens have been dog water for most of their freaking existence. And you're going to talk to us
about dog water. You're only as good as your last game. You're only as good as your last game.
Oh, that's the easy way out. That's the typical words of a guy whose franchise sucks 95% of the time. Minimum.
I don't want to talk about the Sixers. They caused me enough pain.
I love when the bros to get together. If you are going to
fire shots, you got to take the shots too. You came in here firing about that. You could have been like, you know what? I'm going to take the high road here and not say it works. I know my team sucks. But no.
Oh, it's all. Well, you got to understand when you're a Sixers fan, it's all friendly fire. Like, I don't need to take it because they give it enough to me.
Friendly fire.
They're just ruining my life nonstop. Philadelphia, man.
There's nothing friendly about Philadelphia.
It's the city of brotherly love.
Yeah, we know how.
Can we talk about our terrible teams later?
Okay, so pick 82
now. Because I'm too jacked about Braden Fist to be depressed right now.
The Cardinals are picking right now. So like the Rams are on the clock.
They
are. So,
and they picked a tight end.
And they what?
They picked a tight end of all.
The Cardinals did. The Cardinals picked a tight end.
Position.
How about that? How do you like that name? Tip Reman.
That's a great name. Exactly what they need, too, right. You know. They're only their second best player is a tight end.
Why?
What are the Raiders?
They have so many other needs. Why? I don't get that. What? All right. Yeah. So, all right. So, anyways, getting away from our shenanigans here.
Oh, we could talk about Braden Fisk later because the Rams are about to pick. Guys, who are the Rams picking here? There's a lot of great options, and damn, the pick is in.
Keep it defense. I'm loving the defense. We need somebody in the secondary. I'm not going to act like I have names on my list right now, but
Peyton Wilson, inside linebacker, would be great. Cedric Gray, inside linebacker, would be great. Heck, Troy Franklin, wide receiver out of Oregon, would be nice. And I'm about to be pissed. Would you guys like to find out?
Go on.
Do you have it? Oh, yep. My God.
The 83rd pick, the Rams take Blake Chrome, wide receiver, running back out of Michigan.
Oh, my God.
Wait, hold on. They took Blake Corum?
Right there.
They took Blake Corum, yep.
All right. Hold on, man. Hold on. I have to be the one to step in on this one.
It's not the end of the world. He's the third running back off the board, right?
Hold on. No, listen. I'm going to say it straight, okay? So, the pick's a steal.
Listen, Lindo.
Okay? The pick's a steal. I'm going to say it straight. As an Ohio State guy, I will tell you it's a steal. He does a lot of good things. He's never... You know what he is, dude? He's like Kyren Williams version 2. Strong runner. Not the fastest guy, all effort, knows where to find a good hole. He's basically another Kyren Williams. That's what he is. But he's even more productive.
But granted, he had a missed offensive
line. Would have benefited from this pick.
Pardon me?
The Chargers would have benefited from this pick more than the Rams.
True, but think of it this way. I get why they did it. I'm not exactly thrilled about it, but I get why they did it because what happened last year when Kyren got hurt?
He's the third running back off the board. Like what when we took Darrell Henderson in the third round, like we were deep into running backs at that point, right? Like Blake Corum, if he went to the Chargers, would be projecting as a almost borderline every down back, you know?
Yeah, correct.
So it's 83. It's, I don't know. I'm not as mad about it as I thought I would be at the thing of running back on day two because they, and Johnny and I always talk about this, the Rams are going to do this in the draft. You know, they're going to take an offensive player they don't need. They're going to do it. they went really smart at one. They traded up, which, you know, remains, it's way too early to know if that's going to work out, giving up a second round pick next year.
Which work out.
We're about to, I hope so. But you made two really smart picks. They're the Rams. They're going to do this. And at least they're getting a guy who, what, if we were drafting 15 years ago, might have been in the first round when people were taking running backs?
Maybe 10. I would just say, I'm actually, the more I think about it, the more I get it, the more I'm okay with it, the more I'm like, all right, I see this. Just because we saw how bad this offense got last year when Kyren got hurt. And basically getting somebody a lot like him who can carry the load if he does go down. I mean, this is not the case. I don't think this pick's one of those picks. Okay, let me back up. I'm going to ramble if I don't. Do you remember a few years ago when the Rams had Trey Mason and then they went out and drafted Todd Gurley and Mason blew his crap because he thought he was being replaced? Well, he was, but you get what I'm saying?
He did.
Okay, but this isn't that situation. They're not trying to replace Kyren Williams. This is insurance. This is saving your season offensively if crap goes wrong. And it's also, to me, signaling that they are going to run the football. This is a commitment to running the football, which everybody on this podcast can appreciate because how long we've been yelling at them to, well, run the football. I'm perfectly fine with this. I wish they would have gone defensive back or inside linebacker. I wish they would have, but I get it. I'm okay with it.
Johnny? Would you have rather gone, given how the board's broken, with Blake Corum there or a receiver if they were going to go offense here?
Receiver.
I'm iffy about it. I'm not sure, honestly. It's just, he's good. Like, that's a ball player. And they're, like, they, you know, their backup running back right now is Ronnie Rivers. Ronnie Rivers plays, like, he's on the field when he's the backup running back. And so, I don't know. It's, I will never be a fan of taking a running back when you have a good running back and have lots of other needs, but it's not the end of the world. They've done way dumber shit in the past couple of years. Well, so, like,
it's not dumb. How many star running backs went down last year with torn ACLs, meniscus, Achilles? This happens every year. Six or seven guys go down for a season.
Yeah, but how many, like, probably not that good players stepped in and contributed fine?
You need more than fine if you're with the, you're aspiring for what the Rams are aspiring for.
I'm not saying this player is bad because he's really good, but, like, did you know who Jerome Ford was before last season?
Fair.
Like, guys,
yes,
do
I
pop
did.
Up.
Remember where I live, by the way.
I know, but, like, you know what I mean.
Well, but they did a good job of using Jerome Ford in a way that was differential to their off, and teams eventually did catch up to what Jerome Ford was doing. So it's kind of a touch and go here. The Rams want to keep doing what they do.
It's 83. It's 83. Like, it's not 52. It's not 19. It is okay with me.
It's not so much the pick because, again, you can find logic in as to why they ended up drafting a running back here. It's more along the lines of who's available. You know, I don't know if they're content with the current cornerback room right now, but
they are. Then they should all be fired.
Yeah. So that's the thing. You have TJ Tampa right there, which, I don't know, maybe he can fall at pick 99, considering they don't trade down. But, yeah, I don't know. I feel like there was just more pressing needs there and a lot of talent right there.
They at least got talent. Because a lot of times over the last couple of years with, like, Tutu and Van Jefferson, you know, we weren't even really fans of the prospect. And this is at least a really good prospect. Third running back taken in the draft, you're getting him in the mid third round. if like this, you know, they're gonna do it. They're gonna do it, and they did it, and it's okay.
Mid third round in a division with, I know Seattle's doing what they're doing, but in division with the Niners, who like to control the football and so on, having those different options offensively to be able to control the football as well against a team like them, or in a conference where you really want to slow games down a lot of times. The Rams, we've talked about for years, the Rams' formula is not winning by pass. Everything goes to the run first, and when they do that and they control the tempo of a game, they win. And this kind of draft picks ensures that even if something goes wrong, they have somebody who can help them do that. I'm okay with it. I'm actually good with it. I'm not flipping out. I'm a little sad to Michigan guy. I'd rather, you know, never cheer for a Michigan guy. But it's the NFL draft now. But by the way, if I think it also matters they had that other pick 14 picks later. 15 picks later, whatever it is.
Yeah. And they actually had early round picks. A lot of times this is like our first or second pick.
Correct, yeah.
They're gonna have to make this pick count though, because beyond this pick is a big void, because they no longer have a fourth or fifth round pick. And so that means they don't pick again until the sixth round.
Yeah, we'll see if they make it. We'll see if they make this pick.
They'll either move up tomorrow with the, because they have a bunch of six rounders. They can move up.
Yeah, they have a lot of picks, just not for a while.
Yeah, or they'll move back. But with all those six rounders, I can see them moving up to get somebody they want. I mean, that's why you feel comfortable trading that fifth, is because you have all those six rounders if you need to get back to fifth.
You know, I don't really understand how they had to give up a fifth in that trade today. 52 and a second next year, like, you do not have to give up that fifth. I feel like if they were like, we're not giving up the fifth, they still would have gotten the trade down. But I am not a general manager, so
we don't know.
God knows if that's actually
good. I mean, it's easy for us to say that, but we don't know what was going on negotiation wise.
Yeah, maybe somebody else was offering the same thing. But you guys seem to love the prospect. I haven't read enough about him yet. When I come back next week, I will have. But it's a lot to give up, and this is a player, like, this is a move where, for me, like, process trading up to get a guy you love on the defense side of the ball, the position of need, I'm okay with it. If the Rams are, you know, I joked on Twitter, I said the pick's going to be 64, so it's okay. But even if the pick is 52 again, if this player pans out, our guy Brandon Fisk, I forgot his name for a second, if Brandon Fisk pans out, this is not that much to give up. Even if he ends up being like as good as Kobe Turner is, we think is a stud. But Johnny, I mean, I know you love this guy. How you feeling about your new Florida State defensive line?
Well, that's part of the charm in it all, because I mean, just drafting the edge rusher Jared Verse out of Florida State, pairing him with a very familiar guy and Braden Fisk, that is amazing. And on top of that, you not only get cohesion right there, which is very difficult to do amongst young defensive linemen here, but you're also pairing them with other fellow youngsters that just did wonderful work last season in Byron Young and Kobe Turner. So it makes this defensive front that much scarier and younger and
cheap.
And
don't forget that part.
At expensive positions,
actually. Yep. So that being said, it's kind of amazing when we were just discussing about the defensive front before the draft, after losing Aaron Donald, you didn't have a ton of confidence. This brings so much more confidence. You can't help but be a little bit excited. It's going to not be the same, of course, because there's no replacing Aaron Donald. But damn, this is going to be a nice start.
I mean, just to put the money in context, I'm just kind of throwing numbers out there, I'm not even looking at SpotTrack or anything, but SpotRack, the four down linemen alone, I think combined, make less than Aaron Donald did last year.
Oh my god, they probably make five times less.
I mean, combined.
Plus, yes.
Yeah. They might make collectively like $5 million.
If they play young, meaning they play with energy and they cause all kinds of disruption in the front, this also filters down to this third round pick because, you know, you're talking about cornerback, and you're right, by the way, to fret about cornerback. We know cornerback's concerned, even with the moves they've made. You don't have to be as concerned because you're going to be having that quarterback under pressure all the time, and that means you can be a little risky on corner because, you know, so I think the way they handle the second round, going and getting their guy, ensures they can be a little riskier later on because now they know what they have and what they want, and it's going to work for them. I do hate that second round pick going in 2025.
It's tough, but he's got to pan out. That's the thing. Like, it's just a disaster if he's a bust.
Well, and also, if you think about that, flip side of that, if these guys perform up to their draft capital, these two Florida State guys, then that second round pick's far worth it. Money wise, so on and so forth, what you're going to want paying for a good defensive and a good edge rusher, you know that it's going to be you're getting a $20 million guy on a rookie contract for 4 years and 5 years. And you have to be grateful for that and know that that's worth that second round pick. I think that's why they did it. Johnny?
Yeah. And they need help in the secondary. They need to draft a guy or two soon. But the cornerback unit, it is not a long term solution, but. God, I am blanking on everybody's name.
Tre'Varius White Darius Williams, they're decent band-aids. Yes. They're just not long-term.
Tre'Varius White and Quinn Lake, if he's a nickelback. You definitely need another safety next to Cam Curl, but like we've talked about this, I'm sure you have too, Derek, there's so many safeties that are still available like for free on the free agent market. Like if they... I want them to draft a cornerback or safety, probably at 99. But if they don't bring in a starting caliber guy, you can just go probably get John Johnson back for like a mil or two. Hey, and he's playable.
What if Franklin is available at 99?
It's an interesting proposition because Troy Franklin at 99 would be an absolute steal. But... wide receiver would definitely be another luxury pick. And at what point do you start caring about cornerback and inside linebacker for that matter? You know, something Steve and I just harp on every single year. And then we get Christian Roseboom playing opposite end of Ernest Jones. So
yeah, man, it's right around where they took Ernest Jones. And I think you take the running back at 83, I'm going to like it a lot less if they go receiver at 99.
That's just why, you know, again, not knocking the pick because of the player, because I do like him a lot. I think he's a badass. I do think that this is a guy that you're not going to necessarily regret as the player. But in terms of who else was available, that's when you start to be like, I don't know. But this has a lot to do with also the Rams doing that investment in the offensive line, which, as we were assuming, they were going to run the ball a little bit more. But how many times have you heard, we need to get the ball more into the running back's hands? And that's not always the case. So that's why
Johnny, have you watched
a little skeptical.
Have you been on Twitter at all during any Rams game over the past 6 years? That's all we say.
Yeah.
It's get the ball into the running back's hands.
I'm a little bit nervous. Like, you're doing this investment, but are you going to actually use the investment?
Yeah. Call I think they will. Yeah, Zach Evans.
Repeat. All right, so before we move on, do we need to give props for a sponsor? That is Prize Picks. They are the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. It's just you against the numbers, as you're not playing all these other different games and with pros and sharks. It's you pick more than or less than 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. And even though football's over for now, You have the action on the basketball floor heating up right now. The NBA playoffs are going, as you're talking about the Lakers and those 76ers, blah. Go in, get on the excitement with Prize Picks, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash, and right now you can win to $100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with the NBA and the NHL. Don't stop playing. Go have some fun. And if you want to play alongside Prize Picks' favorite players like Meek Mill and Sugar Sean O'Malley, go to the Community Plays under Promos tab of the app and view those entries from some of the biggest names in the Prize Pick community as well. How do you do this? Go to Prize Picks. We'll go to the Play Store, the App Store. Go to download Prize Picks. Use the code RAMSTALK for a first deposit match up to $100. One more time, download the app today. Use the code RAMSTALK for a first deposit match up to $100. And pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Prize Picks.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
So, guys, question for you. Rest of the draft, thus far, second, third round. What's the vibe you're getting here? What are some interesting picks you've seen go elsewhere? Teams that have bombed, teams that have done well, things that surprised you a bit. Let's start with Johnny. What do you say?
Well, you guys heard my criticisms of the Las Vegas Raiders going after Brock Bowers, and I still stand by that. I don't care about value. It's just really stupid for them to go after Brock Bowers when they just drafted Michael Mayer. But on the flip side of things, in round two, they got a ridiculous amount of value by getting Jackson Powers Johnson, interior offensive lineman out of Oregon. The fact that he fell to them in round two is nothing short of a miracle. So that was something that caught my eye. I'm like, damn, I know the Rams don't need him, but wow, what value. As far as bombs, I got to give it up to the recent pick with the Arizona Cardinals going after the tip tight end. That sounds so wrong. I don't know why I said that.
Well, how many tight ends have been drafted? Not many, right? Is he the
not
third tight
a ton,
end?
And that's kind of the other side of the equation. Wasn't even the best tight end to go after, and then. Yeah, I don't know. Bizarre. But for whatever reason, teams are like stockpiling on tight ends, even though they already have a really good one. Maybe sign of the times? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wouldn't call Michael Mayer good. He might be, but you're essentially giving up on him with that pick, but Bowers is a better prospect. And the only other tight end picked is Ben Sinnott to the Commanders at 53, who they signed Zach Ertz, but he is a fossil So,
yep.
The Cardinals is a weird pick, but I don't know. I feel like Trey McBride's going to play 100% of the snaps. I don't really understand that. I think it was pretty fascinating watching the opening of today, and it was just like playing Madden. Everybody made a trade. There's like 8 picks to start the round, or 8 trades.
Well, a lot of it had to do with just the fact that the way the first round shook out with all those offensive players being taken, it was just like a defensive frenzy. So yeah, teams like the Rams were like gunning for all these defensive prospects, including Braden Fisk, who was projected to be kind of a fringe end of first round or early second round pick. So yeah, the trades completely make sense to me.
There's a lot of movement from NFL teams in this draft that makes sense in terms of drafting to get guys they need. A lot of times, well, even yesterday, like the Falcons going up and going making their pick on Michael Penix makes no sense. Color picks make no sense. Okay, like the movements I'm seeing tonight from teams to just maneuver around like this chessboard of the draft, most of it makes sense. Most of it. And so it's been because of that, it's been kind of a boring night, actually. Just tell me if I'm wrong there. I mean, nothing really. I'm not sitting here going, oh, well, huh. Okay. All right. That doesn't make any sense. Well, why'd they do that? I'm not doing that a whole lot.
Definitely not in the second round.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. After the Rams picked, I moved my draft to the second screen, and I started playing Pikmin 4.
Oh, I thought you were watching SmackDown.
Damn, I should have been watching SmackDown, huh? I'm not a week-to-week guy, but we got to give a shout-out to Tony Khan, man, who is still selling his injury with the neck brace in the Jacksonville Jaguars war room. What a legend. He's earned all the respect that has been lost back over the last month.
Still wear. Oh, did you see the interview he gave, by the way?
No, I got to check it out. I heard
he basically went on I think it was ESPN talking, and they asked him about WWE, and he called WWE a whole bunch of different names and so on and so forth on. Like he just shooting.
So good for him, shoot from the hip. You see the Packers drafted a running back?
Marshawn
Lloyd, USC.
Yeah, I just saw that.
Just paid Josh Jacobs like $60 million or whatever.
Well, but Josh Jacobs has injury history.
Yeah, and they lost. Or no, but they kept Dylan. They brought Dylan back.
He sucks, dude.
Come on. I don't think he's good either. I mean, thank you for calling me out.
Like every year for fantasy football. And this is kind of how my mind works, by the way. You hear him say, "This is AJ Dillon's year." You know, Aaron Jones is out. AJ Dillon's going to step in. Then you just, everybody rushes to go pick him up, and he does nothing for you, and then you want to drop him 3 weeks later. Every year,
you know what? Fails. You know what doesn't make me feel good right now? Spencer Rattler is still on the board. I don't think they'll do it, but I'd like somebody else to do it, so they're not tempted to do it.
I think if Stetson Bennett was still like kind of cloudy, I think they go after Rattler.
No,
since Stetson Bennett has came back, I think they're fine. I don't think they go quarterback here.
You miss your quarterback window. If you were going to take a quarterback in this draft, it would have had to have been high. And honestly, after they signed Jimmy Garoppolo, they should have just taken all the quarterbacks off their board. Like, you're good. You have your backup quarterback. And to me, like, if you're drafting a quarterback and you don't anticipate him being in contention for the backup spot, why are you drafting him? It's just kind of a waste. And I think at this point, give Bennett another year. Maybe he will become the backup. He probably won't, but maybe he will.
Yeah, I think as far as Bennett is concerned, he is going to continue to be their backup plan. And until we find a legitimate replacement for Stafford, this is gonna how it's gonna be, where the Rams just kind of go after these, you know, decent backup quarterbacks at relatively cheap prices. And then you have, you know, Stetson Bennett behind there, because why not?
I had someone today tell me they think Stetson Bennett's going to wind up being the guy down the line. They believe that he can still become the guy who replaces Matt Stafford. And I looked at him and I said, dude, he spent the year in rehab. Are you serious? And he just kind of shrugged and that was it. I mean, what do you want me to say?
We don't know that he spent the year in rehab, do we?
Unofficially, right? You know, he was speculating. I am speculating. Okay. But it wasn't good. Like, he's away from the team. He's away from the... It's personal reasons. It's only so many things you can be away for personal reasons for. Rehab, or treatment, or therapy, or something. It wasn't good, dude. He wasn't off on an island somewhere having the time of his life, you know, picking apples and feeding girls strawberries from... you know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't, like, the luxury time. His reputation took a hit, and we all know it. Like, you know, it wasn't good.
Listeners,
but yeah, I will correct myself. I don't know 100% sure what? It was rehab, but it was something. It was something of the sort for sure.
Yeah, man, we're not Dumois over here. Like, we're not a tabloid.
That's why I said I corrected myself. Thank you for calling me on that. But
we just got a glimpse of what paradise is like to Derek. Picking apples and feeding girls strawberries. All right.
I wish I would have had girls feed me strawberries. Be nice.
Yeah, you want the strawberries for yourself.
Nonetheless.
Well, all right. So if you ever take me to an apple orchard, I'm freaking running, man.
Well, hey, you know that. Which is better, that pancake place you took me to, or the strawberries?
The pancake place.
I would say that too, man. That was epic. I think I'm still full from that meeting. It's been 6 years. Or is it seven? It's been a long time.
For the Ramley out living out here in Southern California, if you've ever been to Guasti's Home Style Cafe, you know what's up.
Yeah, I've never forgotten that.
Hashtag not sponsored.
Not sponsored. They
can sponsor us, so
they can.
I mean, give us a call.
Give us a call, Rusty's. Give us a call.
We're on pick 92. We're just kind of waiting at this point for pick 99. By the way, lots of buzz from Tommy about the Commanders draft. What do you guys think about the Commanders draft?
Who have they taken besides Jaden Daniels?
Pretty much everybody. They filled every need, man. They're moving around.
They all took Jerzon Newton, who was the guy that I was hoping the Rams would trade up for, but he went before the selection of Braden Fisk. But I'm not even sure, even though technically Jerzon Newton is kind of rated higher than Braden Fisk, I don't even know if the Rams would have wanted him over Fisk. I think they had their eyes set on Fisk since drafting Jared Verse.
I think they did too. I think they wanted to package that deal, get those guys together. You saw the Rams draft house where they put first on the phone with Fisk. Did you see that?
No, oh no, I didn't see that yet. I heard he was there.
Yeah. Like they made all the phone calls.
That's cool. I had a thought and I forgot it. So that's good. Yeah, the Commanders had a lot of picks, huh?
Well, they have a lot of holes to fill.
Yeah. Doing better than the Falcons. So good for them.
I gotta say, I feel bad for Raheem Morris and you know, just kind of going to Atlanta, having that whole mess in his first season as head coach. I know he's partially responsible for what's going down.
Yeah, at least in some form. He had to have, like, if he really didn't want them to draft Michael Penix, he probably would have won the argument.
Oh yeah, definitely. But my thing is I have to wonder, did he even want Kirk Cousins to begin with? Was that
now you're asking the right questions. Now you're asking the right questions.
He might not have.
Maybe they didn't. Maybe that was an Arthur Blank move.
Well, Arthur's
Blank. Yeah, because right? It's so weird how everything panned out there. But, you know, I'm still rooting for Morris. Just it's not a good start to his head coaching career.
By the way, did you guys see the statement that Kirk Cousins' agent put out last night?
I did.
What an absolute bozo. They just gave your client $100 million guaranteed dollars. They don't owe that man fucking anything. Like, he's 36 years old. It's not like he's like in coming the prime of his career. Injury. Yeah. And he got a 4-year, $180 million contract. And even if they move on after this year, he's still walking away with $100 million. Like, they don't owe that man a damn thing. And I get it, like, nobody's loyal in the league, but, like, they gave that man a bag and a half. He's old. He's still going to be the starting quarterback this year. Like, to put out that, like, that statement was crazy. Like, just absolutely unbelievable. Why even make a quote? Like, just don't say anything.
I'm not going to lie, though. If I'm Kirk Cousins, I'd be a little bit, maybe not pissed, but I'd be at least a little concerned.
Oh, yeah. Warranted to be annoyed. Warranted to be annoyed. Warranted to be concerned. Not warranted to put out a public statement being like, I can't believe they did that. Like, it is what it is, man. You're not Aaron Rodgers when they took Jordan Love. Like, you're Kirk Cousins. You are on your fourth team, third team, whatever.
We're seeing how Steve feels about Kirk Cousins.
No, I like Kirk Cousins. He deserved the money, but like, he also got the money. You know, like, I don't know.
Did he though?
Yes, he's getting that money.
Well, yeah, he is getting the money, but did he deserve the money is my question.
Doesn't matter. He got it. He doesn't have a right to be mad. Right to be annoyed. Maybe mad privately.
He definitely deserves the money. It's called the market.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so I gotta change the subject here for a second because I'm curious about your guys' thoughts on the matter. So the Kansas City Chiefs traded down. The Super Bowl champs traded down with the Buffalo Bills, a team that the Chiefs basically own. And they traded down to get a receiver, which, oddly enough, the Buffalo Bills need as well, after they stupidly traded Stephon Diggs away. So now the question remains in two factors. Do you like the move that the Chiefs did in going after a smaller, speedier wide receiver in Xavier Worthy, or should they have gone a different type of receiver there?
That's the kind of receiver Patrick Mahomes likes.
Yeah.
You know? They need this one to hit because they, you know, I think Rashee Rice is coming along, you know, we'll see, coming along to a suspension. We'll see how long that goes. But also coming along as a prospect, but they took Sky Moore 2 years ago and he's a complete bust. And, yep. You know, like, they don't even need Patrick Mahomes to have help to win his fucking Super Bowl. Like, it just doesn't matter. Besides, if Travis Kelce's there, I suppose, but I don't hate it. Like, you know, Johnny, is there somebody else you would have rather seen them there? Because I guess the Bills got Keon Coleman after trading down 6 picks later. I mean, what's your take on those prospects in comparison?
You know, I think for me personally, it's a toss-up because I can understand what they're trying to do with Xavier Worthy. So by getting Worthy, I think the hope is that they can at least somewhat replicate what they had with Tyreek Hill. It's not going to be Tyreek Hill. So if that's the hope, they're going to be severely disappointed because there's only one Tyreek Hill. You know, dude's a freak. But that being said, this is a guy that is on record of having the fastest 40 with running it in 4.21 seconds, which is insane. So I guess that's cool and all, but wouldn't you want to diversify it a little bit? I mean, kind of the other knock on Xavier Worthy is, other than the fact that he's kind of the smaller, typical wide receiver, he also had a number of drop passes in college, which is kind of the reason why the Chiefs continue to look at receivers, because they have receivers that drop the ball. So I don't know, maybe going after anyone that could catch the football. And Ladd McConkey would have been a great pickup, in my opinion.
Hard to be critical, though. They're Super Bowl champs again.
Yeah. Well, let's say, Johnny, I'd love to know, like, hypothetically, if Xavier Worthy ran a 4.28, does he go this even close to this high?
Instead I imagine that he would still be considered but I think that, obviously the record breaking speed is what caught everybody's attention. So does he get as much attention running for 4.28? I'm not entirely sure. Does 0.7 seconds make a difference? Maybe to some. Me personally, no.
Yeah, it's just a little, the flex of it all, I guess. John Ross definitely, I feel like, got a jump when he did it.
Yes,
that didn't work out.
How his career turned out, It's really interesting to me, talk we have about that, and even we talk about all those intangibles and how often those intangibles though are meaningless once you get in a football field. And that's why the sheer number of busts we get. I don't really have a good feeling about that pick at all, Johnny. I think that's the kind of player Mahomes likes, but most players that stature don't wind up doing much of anything. You had your Tyreek Hill, you had your lightning in a bottle, and he's one of the best, but think of all the ones who, that same build, same type of style, didn't do jack.
Yeah, but they're also in a weird place where, like, what did they need at 28?
True.
What does a man who has everything need? Like, what do you give him?
He could have gone offensive lineman. They could have gone defensive lineman. They have needs, but yeah. They just have Patrick Mahomes to bail them out of just about any situation.
And if they're just, if they're just overcompensating this offseason with getting Patrick Mahomes receivers after last year, it's hard to blame them. Because they have Hollywood Brown. They made this pick. They can go to Mahomes. They could be like, buddy, we tried. If it doesn't work out, I don't know what to tell you. And after last year, man, it was such a... I can't believe they won the Super Bowl at that receiving core.
I can't.
It's so crazy. Mystery,
man, but it's all the Patrick Mahomes effect, man. Dude is going to go down in history as one of the best quarterbacks ever.
I think, honestly, it would take something unforeseen for him to not go down as the best quarterback of all time at this point.
Overtaking Tom Brady?
I think so. I don't think he even needs to win seven. What did Brady win? Seven? That's fucking crazy. I don't think he needs to win that many Super Bowls to take the title.
You heard it?
Like, at this point in his career, compared to where Tom Brady was, it is not even comparable. They have the same amount, or they have close to, if not the same amount of championships, but Brady really didn't become like that fucking dude until 07. Like, he was obviously always great, but Pat Mahomes has been that dude since his rookie year.
That's true. I mean, there is that famous Super Bowl that he won his first year.
I'm not saying he was a slouch. I'm just saying, like, he was a system quarterback until he became the system.
What do you think happens when... What do you think happens when Kels retires, by the way?
There will They'll be figure less Taylor Swifties in the audience.
I think they'll figure it out. I mean, he was throwing his, besides Kelsey, his best receiver was Rashi Rice, who was like a rookie and not like a setting the world on fire rookie. He was just like a pretty productive rookie who just happened to be the only guy they could throw the ball to because nobody else could do anything. So yeah, I don't know. I'm sure, like, I feel like they would pay for a tight end and also draft one like in the same offseason when Kelsey retires, but I think he's still got a couple more years in him.
At least.
We said that about Aaron Donald, and here we are.
Don't bring that up. Too soon. Too soon. But brighter days ahead.
I hope. It's pretty bright last year. Well, half the season.
You know what, Derek? I don't want none of your downerness right now.
What are you talking about? I'm just sitting here listening to you guys go.
He's calling me, Derek.
Oh, okay.
That was tough. Four picks until we're up.
Four picks. Three, yeah, one, two, three. Getting late. All right, so what are... We've gone over it now. We've seen the board shake out here a little bit in the last 15 minutes or so. I mean, any change in strategy here? Anything you know, seeing who's gone off the board, you think they might move to a different player? Anything at all?
Let me ask you guys, you know more than me, how is this safety class? Because it doesn't seem like there's been four safeties picked so far. So we'd be getting a top five safety in the class. That's at least in this season, not long term, but in 2024, that's a bigger need than cornerback, I would say, because we need a starting safety. I don't think Russ East is a guy. I don't really want him to walk into that spot by himself. Is that something you guys would like to see here?
It's a possibility. I mean, this is a semi... it's a semi-okay class for safety. Part of the reason why you've only seen very little come off the board up until this point is just because the value of safety has gone down so low. As you've seen with the Rams, they've found gold in the seventh round, which is kind of sad. But
it makes me think they won't pick a safety.
You just made the argument for not taking the safety. You just made it.
No, and you don't need to. And I think part of the lesson learned was Taylor Rapp. You know, okay guy, you know, serviceable.
But you had John Johnson in the third round.
I would argue was a lot more serviceable than him.
Yeah, and you found Jordan Fuller in the sixth round. But you also, when you drafted John Johnson high, he paid off.
Yeah, I guess he was semi-high.
I'm not saying I need him to draft the safety.
Yeah, I mean, there are guys on the board that you can get here, like Jaden Hicks out of Washington State. He's still available. But personally, TJ Tampa's still on the board. I would absolutely be thrilled to get him. Peyton Wilson's still there. Cedric Gary's still there. So, hey, maybe getting Groom at, pick 83 wasn't so bad.
Yeah, I mean, I'm here for a cornerback, obviously. That would be probably the most ideal situation for me.
It's got to be the right cornerback, though.
Well, it's the 99th pick. The right cornerbacks have probably already all gone. Hey, TJ, who's your mama making the pick?
McKinley Jackson. Defensive
tackle. Classic.
Who's your mama?
It's actually kind of interesting that he's been out of the NFL for so long, and it doesn't feel like it. I think we're getting old.
He's just got such a He's got such a great name. Yeah, we are definitely getting old. TJ Husmanzada. You know, he played.
The amount of people that probably got his name wrong is absurd.
Yeah, I think the Who's Your Mama reference was from a commercial for fantasy football, like when fantasy football, when you needed to advertise fantasy football as a sport. Not like a sport, but you know what I mean? Because it wasn't big enough.
It was a real sport. Pick is in for the Steelers, so that's pick 98. We're here we go, on deck, and then we have a whole new conversation to have. Oh, yep. Lordy.
And then you get to go to bed.
No, I don't. I gotta edit.
Nah, that's true. You don't have to edit. What are we
I'm not gonna here? Do much of an edit, though, really. We haven't been that bad tonight.
You're gonna edit the part out of us talking about editing.
Well, this is where we are on draft night, folks. Pick 98, waiting for the Steelers to pick them up live, and then the Rams are on deck. Any kind of word? I know you're locked in on social media, Johnny. Anything on this pick for the Rams coming in?
Nothing yet. Just on the clock. I am refreshing like the keyboard warrior that I am.
This is two straight years now where we've gotten to this point and we feel good. You know, whatever happens here at 99.
Wait, hold on. You feel good with Blake Corum there?
I just feel good about the draft. I feel okay about Blake Corum. I'm not upset about it. It's not my favorite thing in the world, but he's a good prospect. He's at relatively of a position of need. Like, we do need another running back. Did we need to draft one at 83? Maybe not, but he's good. So right. I'm okay. And I love the first two picks.
Is he an upgrade over the guys they have outside of Kyron Williams?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, how is he not? Yes. No disrespect to my guy Ronnie Rivers, but like...
Yeah. No.
I could have walked into the building last year and they might have given me the ball before they gave it to Zach Evans.
You've been like Lucas, dude. You ever seen the movie Lucas?
I have not.
You need to see it, and that's you. That wouldn't have ended well at all. I'm not sure why you'd say that.
I'm definitely not better than Zach Evans. I'm just saying they will give anybody the ball before they give it to him.
This is kind of a shame. I would have liked to have seen what he can do, but evidently he can't do much according to them.
Good cat. This is, you know, Lucas is Winona Ryder's first film role.
You looked it up?
I just Googled the movie quick. Yeah, never heard of it.
You need to see it. I mean, he's short and little like you too,
man. I wonder how many of our listeners had any idea this 1986 film called Lucas existed.
I guarantee you, Tommy knew if he's listening. Tommy, he'll send me a text, let him give me a thumbs up because I know he watched it.
Charlie Sheen, Jeremy Piven, Gary Cole, pretty good cast.
Well, and the redhead in there—that's actually why people watched it back then. That's why he and I would have watched it, the cute little redhead girl in there.
So do you guys want to hear?
Yeah.
Yes.
So with the 99th pick, the Rams select Cameron Kinchin, safety out of Miami.
Well, okay.
There it is.
There we go.
Yep.
We got a safety. You love to see it. Hopefully it works out.
All right, so tell us about him.
So the interesting thing about Cameron Kinchins is this is a guy that was initially projected to be the top safety in the class, but his measurables were horrible during the combine, and it's one of the reasons why he slid down this low. But it's became like a common consensus that he just tested bad. And if you look at the film, he plays a lot faster than what he was measured at. I think he had like an absurdly slow 4.7, I believe, 4.71. I can't remember. But for a safety, that's pretty slow. Considering this, that Braden Fisk was measured at 4.86 seconds. So that's a defensive lineman. But that being said, you know, if you look at the film, which is what Sean McVay does, he doesn't He doesn't even go to the combine. Doesn't bother to send too many, scouts to the combine. He goes after film, and this is a guy that plays at a high level and plays very, very well, a lot faster than what you've seen at the combine. So definitely a good pick if you're looking in the market for a safety. I have to say, I was kind of hoping for TJ Tampa, but I'm not upset about it.
I love going after guys who fell because they tested bad at this and this range. Like, you want guys who are good. I think kind of like quote unquote low ceiling guys, I guess would be the right term, right? Like, that's kind of was a big knock on Ernest Jones, and we took him in this range, and he's one of our best players.
Call a low ceiling guy. They oftentimes show you their ceiling was never really that low. Last year's draft class was the reason why it was so good, because they, at that point, they're almost all low ceiling guys, and they performed. I think the Rams like guys who have faced a little adversity. Who have to earn it a bit. And in this case, he's facing adversity. I am happy that they rely more on their football instincts than they do on just the sheer numbers. Football players are football players. 4.65 40. That's what he timed at. That's probably what killed him. 4.65 40.
And look, man, like, it's a 99th pick. You don't need this guy to become Troy Polamalu. You need him to be startable and not be a liability. And like, that's about it.
Troy Polamalu.
It'd be great. It'd be great if he was, but like, if he's not, like, you're fine. Like, if he's Jordan Fuller, it's fine. You get 4 years as a starter out of him. Hopefully he's better than Jordan Fuller. Ball Hawk, 11 interceptions last 2 years, huh?
Yeah, and that's what immediately pops off if you look at his film. This is a guy that is a baller. Like, it was actually very shocking to many people seeing his 40 time. But again, that, you know, it depends if that's really that important to you, which it appears that to a lot of teams, it was pretty important because he fell all this way down. I have to reiterate that Kitchens was considered a top safety prospect, that at least one of the top two between him and Tyler Newbin, and he just fell. So if this is the case, if he continues to play at that high level, Rams got themselves a steal here.
That's what it seems like to me. You know, and that's what they've been really good at, is finding guys who are a bit down there, luckily, maybe a little bit. I'm not sure that that's even the right word, but they find guys who slid a little bit. Guys you originally thought they would go higher, and then they make something of them. So, all right.
And what I like about this class so far is, like, you look at this, none of these, you're not looking at a single player out of the 4 day 1 and 2 picks where you're like, that guy won't be on the field in week one. Like, I think we could all say we expect these guys to play week one. Blake Kerm is not going to start if Kyron Williams is healthy, but he will play, most likely.
He will play.
I hope, because if not, what a fucking waste.
No, think of it this way. Like, if you go back to that, to what that team was trying to do in ball controlling and in controlling tempo, they became a team at their best when they were running the ball, 35, 40 times a game. He could easily see 10, 12 touches a game.
Yeah, and ideally, like, if Kyron Williams is playing 70% of the snaps and we get Blake Kerm for 30% of the snaps, great. Even if it's a little lower than that. But it we are running that man into the ground, and if he could have a nice little lightning to his thunder, that's fantastic.
Well, and Kyron has shown injury tendencies going back to college.
Yeah.
The more I think about it, the more I think it's a good pick. Just good insurance.
I feel good. This is 2 years in a row where I have felt great after day two.
Curious as to what Tommy's thinking too, because you know Tommy's sitting there on Twitter just talking his trash. I'm curious as to what he's got to say about it. I wish he would remain tonight.
I don't think he liked the Kimchins pick, but let me double check.
He probably wanted. But do you want somebody else?
He said he would have taken Mekhi Wingo.
I wouldn't have hated that either, but I think I like Kimchins a little bit more.
Yeah, I'd rather go secondary. But also, doesn't Tommy like do the draft as if like his pick was the pick they actually made?
Maybe.
That's a question for Dan.
He actually comes up with a whole entire draft board. Does a mock draft with a full draft board, and then he'll then run through on draft day as well, and having adjusted, make picks. So, and oftentimes, you know, he's right a lot of the time in terms of how the player he would have taken has then performed in the NFL compared to the player that the Rams did take instead. He's oftentimes right. But, I mean, I they're addressing needs. I'm liking what they're doing. And I have a lot more faith in that front office right now than I did a year ago after that draft they had last year.
Oh, yeah. Because I feel like before the last draft, we were talking about how detrimental the previous like four drafts were to why we won five games in 2022. Because
they slipped. Right,
you whiff and you whiff and you whiff, and then that adds up, and as a result, you have a roster of guys you drafted who all suck. And so, when you come into last year's draft and you get four legitimate contributing studs, plus like a punter who starts, and then like they still have like we'll see if any of the other guys pan out. Like Davis Allen, Warren McClendon was last year, right? Like Trey Tomlinson, those guys are very up in the air, but like the whole fortune of the team changed because they got Steve Avila, Kobe Turner, Byron Young, and Puka Nacua in the door on rookie contracts. Changes the entire timeline of what you're able to do.
Yeah, suddenly they're back in a Super Bowl window because of all that.
Yeah, right.
13 months ago, we're thinking, heck, shoot, 6 months ago, we're thinking. Well, no, 7 months ago, we're thinking this is a reload year. This is a rebuild year. They're going to win 3-4 games. And all of a sudden, we're jumping from that to they're back in a Super Bowl window. Meanwhile, the Buffalo Bills, just want to repeat that. Don't want people to forget that. Just, yeah, as it is. All right. Hey, it's 11:30, and there's no more reason for us to stay awake. You've heard our analysis. Let us know what you think. Hit us up on Twitter at Talk Rams. Hit Steve up at Steve Ribeiro. Ask him about his dishwashing abilities. Apparently, he's now a maid. And, or, ask
2024, man. I wash dishes.
On draft night, you wash dishes. I don't want to hear that stuff. This isn't like you got
a whole lot of work. Shout out to the 10 women who listen to this podcast. I wash dishes. Derek probably should start washing dishes.
I'll wash dishes right after dinner, and then I'm going to go do man things on draft night. You know, did you have a little apron too?
I have an apron. I don't wear when I'm washing dishes. I wear when I cook.
One of those little apron-y thingies that kind of keep all the suds off your shirt. Do you use rubber gloves?
No, I don't use rubber gloves.
Those big rubber gloves?
I'm getting soap on my hands. Continues. It's clean. I don't like this attitude like anti-washing dishes, man. What, do not clean your house?
Hold on a minute. I'm not anti-washing dishes. I'm anti-washing dishes when football stuff's on. Like, dude, you stopped watching the draft to go wash dishes.
I missed like two picks.
You missed more than two picks. You miss more than
the fact that you're more disgusted about the 10 minutes I washed dishes than when I mentioned that I spent an hour of the draft playing Pikmin 4 on my Nintendo Switch. I'm confused because
you're a smart enough man. You could have that TV in front of you and flip the Switch, and you're paying attention to it. How can I say anything? I'm going back and forth between the draft and SmackDown. How can I say anything there? But I can say something about it being draft night and you're getting up and washing dishes at 10 o'clock at night. Seriously? Come on, man.
Gotta keep the place clean, man.
Keep it clean when the draft's over.
Because this is what I have to deal with.
Well, it's 11:30, and I don't need to go wash a bunch of dishes because I already did it.
Well, for the record, the only reason I'm talking this much trash is because you've been needling me for weeks on podcast this, and I have to start dishing it back, or I'm going to be getting bullied.
Listeners want to hear you. They get to hear you once a month. They're waiting for you.
Are you talking? This is like my third time, like the last week and a half, 10 days.
I know. You're back.
Hey, it's school year, dude.
When draft coverage is over, we'll see you in August.
Damn.
No, because they can go over talking Halos and hear me there. All right.
Yeah, there you go.
This is so. Draft cover. No, we gotta bring back the tour. That's a lot of work, though. You guys want to do that? Sure.
Honestly, no. It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. Okay. Here we go. Tomorrow's the last day. We'll probably take that one off. Come back on Sunday night with a recap of the whole draft with hopefully with our guys. If not, you know, I'll let Steve and Johnny. In the meantime, we're out of here. Have a great one.